Women's Health Melbourne is an innovative, holistic fertility and women's health practice. We are world leaders in IVF and egg freezing and provide our patients with every opportunity to achieve their goals.
Our hand-picked, expert team provides the ultimate care experience for our patients. Reach us at womenshealthmelbourne.com.au and follow us at Women's Health Melbourne and at Dr. Raylia Liu.
This month is Endometriosis Awareness Month, and I'm so happy to invite to Knocked Up Podcast a special guest, Dr. Sylvia Ross. Dr. Ross is a fertility specialist in our practice at Women's Health Melbourne. She has broad experience in fertility medicine, treating patients with every different type of infertility and with every technology available. She has undertaken CREI subspecialty training and is a qualified Franz-Kog obstetrician gynecologist. Welcome, Sylvia.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Sylvia and I were operating yesterday in theatre treating endometriosis for one of our patients. And I think that case really did illustrate how sometimes endometriosis can present as quote unquote unexplained infertility.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we know that there is a huge burden of endometriosis on our infertility patients, and it is often undiagnosed before they come to see us because diagnosis can be difficult and it can't be done necessarily with scans, blood tests, or examination.
Endometriosis is a really elusive condition sometimes, you're right, and it is really common. 1 in 9 women have endometriosis, and in our patients' population with infertility, it's even more common. Can you explain to our listeners how we think about endometriosis? What is endometriosis?
Endometriosis is a condition which affects people with the uterus, where the cells or tissue which line the inside of the uterus actually spread to other parts of the body. So this can include peritoneal disease, which means it covers the lining of the inside of your pelvis. It can include endometriomas, which are cysts on the ovaries, and it can cause anatomical distortion, meaning that scar tissue from inflammation and endometriosis deposits can change the architecture of the pelvis, which can lead to fertility problems.
Let's talk about how endometriosis can affect fertility specifically. I would say one way is just general inflammation in the pelvis. Inflammation can cause a hostile environment for sperm and egg getting together, and it can make conditions for embryos forming a little more difficult. But there are also physical barriers that endometriosis can cause that can stop people getting pregnant.
Yes, and we see a lot of adhesions in people with endometriosis. And this is essentially a type of scar tissue, which can mean that the tubes or the ovaries may be stuck in places where they cannot reach each other easily. And it can also, as I said before, create endometriosis cysts, endometriomas. These things also have an effect on fertility because we know that they can cause damage to the ovary, and removing them is a complicated situation.
It's true. We're kind of damned if we do and damned if we don't when it comes to endometriomas. And guidelines are pretty clear that if they're greater than 5 centimetres, we recommend removing them and treating them surgically in many cases. But when we do operate on the ovary, it is pretty much certain that we're going to, by virtue of the fact that we're using surgery on the ovary, going to damage egg-bearing tissue and potentially diminish the patient's ovarian reserve. And I have seen patients over the years who have had endometriosis surgery and sometimes repetitive surgeries over a long course of time, because this can be a lifelong disease, or certainly a disease that affects women throughout their reproductive life when they're ovulating. And the end result can be that either they've had to have an ovary removed, or that their egg count has been significantly diminished due to the treatment of endometriosis as well as endometriosis itself. And what that can mean is that patients can be a poorer candidate for assisted reproductive treatments like IVF, where one of the things we do to help people is stimulate the ovary, and that allows us to collect eggs that we can use to create embryos outside of the body for freezing and for transfer to create a pregnancy. Sometimes, paradoxically, we choose to use IVF over surgery in patients with endometriosis for that reason, because we feel that if their key goal is to get pregnant, then we prioritize that over the physical treatment of endometriosis.
And I think you make a good point there, and that's raising what is the goal. Because if you have someone who is having severe symptoms with endometriosis, which may include severe pain with periods, may include bowel or bladder symptoms if those organs are involved, their goal may be primarily to treat that, because it can be really debilitating and lead to time off work and, you know, a lot of social pressures. However, if your key goal is to have a pregnancy in as short as time as possible, well, for some people, the right thing may be just to go straight to treatment and potentially consider surgery in the future.
So when we talk about endometriosis treatment, there are really three broad categories, I would say. The first being, if someone's not trying to get pregnant, we can use medications to stop their cycle, and that can be a kind of band-aid solution for endometriosis. And that's things like hormonal management. We can also, as you mentioned, use surgery, and surgery can also be one of the key ways we diagnose endometriosis when we don't know it's there. And it's important, I think, to talk about the fact that 50% of women with endometriosis will have a normal ultrasound, and that's because the disease can be mild, moderate, or severe by ultrasound criteria. And often mild and even moderate endometriosis can be very difficult and subtle and impossible sometimes to diagnose by ultrasound. And so the best test to not only treat but also diagnose endometriosis is still what we call a laparoscopy. I might get you to talk our listeners through what a laparoscopy is in a moment, but I promised three potential treatments. And the third one I wanted to talk about is assisted reproductive treatment, because it is not a cure for endometriosis, but it is a get around for the fertility problems that endometriosis brings. And by assisted reproductive treatment, I feel this means also a nod to egg freezing, because it is a very valid, reasonable and rational thing to do if you have endometriosis, especially if you're younger and are not planning a family in the near future, to put some eggs on ice for later, for the reasons that endometriosis is a condition that is progressive, that can recur over time, that in some people can be quite aggressive, and that over time can cause more severe infertility. So freezing younger, healthy eggs when you know you have endometriosis, to me, if you can do it, is a big no-brainer. And we can also use, of course, assisted reproductive treatments to help people with endometriosis have a baby if that's where they're at in life. Back to laparoscopy, can you explain for our listeners, Dr. Sylvia Ross, how we do a laparoscopy and what it is, and from a patient's perspective, what's involved? Because I think a lot of people find the idea quite daunting.
A laparoscopy is also referred to as keyhole surgery and minimally invasive surgery. And the reason for that is, although the operation on the inside can be quite big, with a lot of endometriosis treated, from the outside, all you will see are a number of small incisions between half a centimetre to a centimetre long. And these are usually around the belly button and around the bikini line, for example. You are under general anaesthetic when you have a laparoscopy, which means you're asleep, so you're not aware of or feeling what's happening. A camera is used through a hole, usually through the belly button, to have a look inside the pelvis and both diagnose and treat the endometriosis. A type of gas is used to inflate the abdomen. so that the organs are moved and pathology can be seen more easily. The other small holes are used for instruments, such as gentle graspers, to be able to move the organs and also to be able to treat any lesions seen. So, for example, if you have what's called peritoneal endometriosis, which is when you have deposits of this endometrium-like tissue, the lining of the uterus, throughout your peritoneum, which is like a bit like a glad wrap which covers the inside of your pelvis. These can be either ablated, which means burnt, or they can be excised, which means cut out.
And what happens when we cut out areas of endometriosis?
We aim to decrease the inflammatory load in the pelvis by removing these areas, and your body will heal over with new tissue, which doesn't have these negative effects on fertility and also on your symptoms. So when these areas are removed, people will report a decrease in pain when they have their periods because they are no longer being activated by the hormonal changes of the menstrual cycle.
Let's discuss recent guidelines on endometriosis considering surgery versus going straight to IVF in patients who are not sure what to do.
Look, I think one of the main issues here, and which is why it always necessitates a conversation with patients about their goals, is that we don't have perfect evidence to say this is exactly what you should do for this patient. And that's why seeing someone who can have this conversation is so important. Guidelines have changed quite recently to move away just from saying surgery is gold standard for diagnosis and has moved more towards scanning. So sometimes we're seeing people who have had a diagnosis from a scan and maybe they don't necessarily have to have surgery. For people who have unexplained infertility and are more likely to have mild endometriosis that hasn't been seen on a scan, using surgery can help with natural conception. If people have very severe endometriosis but are not necessarily affected greatly by debilitating symptoms, often using ART or fertility procedures and treatment is likely to give a better result than doing surgery first.
And I guess when we say a better result, we mean a very pregnancy-focused definition, don't we? Like getting pregnant faster. Because I think with endometriosis, as you say, there's no one right answer. And so the philosophy of a patient's perspective can be taken into account when making decisions as to what we do first. From experience, some people are very keen to get pregnant as soon as possible. And it may be for those patients that IVF is the right thing to do rather than go down a surgical pathway. For other patients, they may want to conceive as naturally as possible, and avoiding assisted reproduction and prioritizing improving the chance of natural conception may be a higher goal for them as an individual, so that if possible, they may be able to avoid IVF. So I feel my approach is I always discuss both options with patients, particularly with unexplained infertility, where we feel there's a pretty high chance endometriosis might be a problem, and really involve them in that decision making. Would you be in a similar boat on that situation?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, I was saying to you yesterday in theatre that over the last year, I feel like in the people who I have recommended to have surgery first, who have been motivated either by symptoms or the want to conceive naturally, I feel that we've been diagnosing endometriosis in almost all of these patients. You know, for you and I, we're very experienced in seeing people with this condition and seeing the different causes of infertility, we can often pick out those who are likely to benefit from surgery.
100%. I think that's true. I think it's a combination of clinician intuition and also patient selection and patient self-selection, because patients can often have a feeling that something might be wrong. And even if their symptoms are subtle, sometimes they have a good deal of insight as to whether a surgery will benefit them and benefit their philosophy and their reproductive goals. I think age is also important, because endometriosis is one risk factor for infertility, and sometimes people have multiple risk factors like advancing age over 35 or low ovarian reserve that we've picked up on a blood test or an ultrasound antral follicle count, and sometimes that influences our decision as to whether we do surgery first. And I think for younger patients who have a partner with normal sperm and have no shortage of reproductive time ahead of them, surgery is a very reasonable first line management strategy for unexplained infertility or where there is ultrasound suggestion of endometriosis.
And I think one of the other benefits to surgery in these cases, which we're saying unexplained, is that we have the opportunity to assess other potential barriers to conception. For example, at the time of laparoscopy, we can flush fluid through the fallopian tubes and assess whether they are actually open and receptive to receive an egg and a sperm for natural fertilisation, or if in fact they're blocked, and trying with natural conception or intrauterine insemination is actually worthwhile.
I think that's a really interesting topic, intrauterine insemination and endometriosis. I would say if somebody has mild male factor problems, we want to avoid IVF. We want to use a little bit of what we call superovulation, or giving a little bit of medicine to have more than one egg release, which is really those things together are the components of a treatment called IUI or intrauterine insemination. We have to think about the burden of inflammation in the pelvis. That's kind of a halfway house between naturally trying and IVF. I would say that while there have been studies that have shown that women with endometriosis can benefit from IUI, the effects are definitely less than in a patient population without endometriosis. And so the chance of getting pregnant per month with IUI if you do have endometriosis is not particularly high. And so from that perspective, if someone's very keen on IUI, I would potentially recommend a laparoscopic quote-unquote cleanup of endometriosis first, flushing of the tubes to improve the chances that IUI will be successful. And I would always warn patients that the presence of endometriosis is a negative predictive factor for IUI being successful, because just like with natural conception, the presence of endometriosis in the pelvis may be one of the things that is the most serious barrier to conception in the body.
I would agree that if someone who potentially has endometriosis or has endometriosis on scan is wanting to undertake that treatment, then certainly they need to have at least some kind of tubal assessment first, and ideally some treatment of endometriosis.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sylvia Ross, for joining us for our conversation about endometriosis in this Endometriosis Awareness Month. I feel that there is thankfully a lot more awareness around endometriosis than there used to be. It is such a common condition, and my take-home message for anyone who's been diagnosed with unexplained infertility is that to some degree, without having a laparoscopy and checking for endometriosis, your infertility is not unexplained, it's undiagnosed. Because as we talked about, the majority of patients with this problem, not all, there are lots of other things that sometimes more simple tests can't pick up, like egg sperm dysfunction, fertilization problems, and egg and sperm quality concerns in making embryos. But the vast majority of unexplained infertility in our Australian population is due to endometriosis, just by virtue of the fact that it is so common. If you are worried that you may have endometriosis, the best thing that I can advise you to do is seek an appointment with a qualified fertility specialist. The most highly qualified fertility specialists in Australia and New Zealand have sought the CREI qualification. All fertility specialists in our practice at Women's Health Melbourne have undertaken CREI training, and I'd welcome you to reach out to our practice for a fertility assessment with one of our fertility specialists to help you get pregnant if that's what you want to do. Freeze your eggs if you have endometriosis and are concerned about preserving your best options for the future.
To support Knocked Up, leave us a review or recommend to a friend. Join us on Instagram at Knocked Up Podcast, and join Raylia at Dr. Raylia Lou. And email us your questions to podcast@womenshealthmelbourne.com.au.